Blog Talk Radio.
Anna's Friends is a series of 8 children's books written from the perspective of children at the third grade level. Each child has been given a different motivational gift found in Romans 12, 6 through 8. These wonderful children's books show the interaction between Anna's circle of friends and how they respond to one another based on their gifts. The Companion Guide, a parent's guide to understanding what motivates your child, was written for the parents in mind so they can read and discover their child's gifts as well. Why is this important? The scriptures tell us to train up a child in the way they should go. The motivational gifts that we have all been given by God are indeed the way that we should go. Discover your child's gifts early. Join me Sunday, August 20th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the best gifts on Blog Talk Radio, Soul Purpose Healing with host Beth Harris. And then visit us at www.annasfriends.com for more information.
This is the last on our series. We have our guest, Pastor Yvonne Williams, with us tonight, my guest host. And you can go ahead and open the line for her, that area code 615. Good evening.
Good evening, Beth. Hey, it's Yvonne.
Hello. So happy to have you join us again. How has the week been going for you? Kind of want to catch us up a little bit?
Well, it's been going good. We've had a good week. Last time I was on was in June, and we were preparing to open our church, which we officially did. As you well know, you came up for that, and we're so appreciative that you did. It was a fun time. We officially opened the doors and had our first service July 16th. So it's been about 5 weeks now, and it's been a fun, wonderful experience. You know, God is always on time with everything He does, and Mary and I are never into numbers. We've always said we'll do it for one, or we'll do it for 100, depending on what God sends. So every week has been different. We've met some wonderful new people, and we have a little congregation growing. So it's going well, keeping us busy, obviously.
Right. It's wonderful. And mm-hmm. Of course, when you have that call on your life, yes, it's very busy. It reminds me of the verse when Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And as we
Amen.
Breathe, yes, and as we read mm-hmm. those passages, we see he was quite, I don't know. I mean, it was kind of difficult for the disciples to get him to rest, but
yeah.
He always was like feeling that urgency. And then
mm-hmm.
with him
mm-hmm.
being our example, that is how we're to feel. We're not to be relaxed here. We're to
mm-hmm.
feel that sense of urgency. And
right.
we see that
right.
with early church. They had that sense of urgency, like any time, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
live as we weren't married, even if you are right now, but it was always that sense of urgency. And
yeah.
I'm really excited because you have been a wonderful example to so many. I mean, you've just written quite a number of books, and
mm-hmm.
and then the movie that was out not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are constantly busy as an artist and the co-pastor now. I mean, it just fascinates me, like how people find the time. I mean, you know, we all have the same amount of time, but I tell you, I
mm-hmm.
admire you. The word says follow or mark the perfect man.
Mm-hmm.
And I see you and Pastor Marion as that example for me to follow.
Oh,
I am very
thank you. Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, well, you too mean a lot to me. I am just very happy to be a part of the Feel and English. I probably shouldn't even mm-hmm. just continue with advertising and let you do that, but just want to encourage people to go to that website, which is ascensionhill.org.
Org, that's right. That's right.
ascensionhill.org. So we have a full night again. We are going
mm-hmm.
to discuss the gifts of prophecy, service, and teaching. And will you just, for those who may not have been on for the first two, would you
mm-hmm.
just kind of give a brief of the gifts that you covered?
Yes, I will. We started this, I think this is actually the third or fourth program, I'm not sure, but we have already covered the gifts of exhortation, facilitation, and giving. Excuse me. In brief, they are three of the seven gifts. We're actually going to touch on mercy tonight as well. But to give a little bit of history to those that do not and have not been on the other shows, when I taught Sunday school for children many years ago, I discovered the motivational gifts found in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, through Marion, my now husband. We were dating at the time, and he introduced me to those gifts. And I just was set on fire when I listened to the tapes that he gave me, because I understood not only for the first time what my gifts were and the reason I was doing things that I had done most of my life was because of I had the strong gift of mercy. So that led me into really doing some research about these gifts and how children
exhibited the gifts at an early age. And when I discovered that, I thought, wow, parents need to understand this as well. So long story short, I felt the Lord was wanting me to write not only the parent's guide to help them understand their children and discover their gifts, but to write a set of children's books for the children so they could also learn in a fun way through story and through relating to friends that might be like some of the friends that they have. So I created the Anna's Friends Children's Book Series. I think it's been almost 2 years now since I've began those, and they are completed. I'm now working on the book for preschoolers. The little images of the children have been created. The book is almost completed. I'm just waiting to wrap up a few loose ends of the story, and then I'll go on to getting the illustrations completed as well and launch the book for preschoolers next. But we've been having these programs so I can help educate those that come on and listen about the gifts so they can recognize their children's gifts at an early age.
Yes, and as I mentioned, since I have preschool grands now, I'm glad you're looking forward to that book. So just tell us a little bit as far as how you have experienced. I'm sure you've met different people with the gift, as you mentioned before. Is it sort of like ongoing where you recognize, like, oh, my goodness, you know, there is a scripture that mentioned, even though we're talking about the motivational gift tonight, but the word says he gives good gifts, you know, so it's from the Father of lights, as the word says, in whom there is no shadow of turning. So these are good and perfect gifts. And how wonderful for a child to get that impression. In these days, it's so sad that a lot of people aren't giving their children that impression of being good and perfect. I mean, because they're constantly, you know, seemingly telling them the opposite sometimes. It just breaks my heart. And so they would love to encounter someone with that awareness. It's kind of like fresh air, you know, when you get that, like, what a relief, like, okay, you mean really I'm good, you know, as being an image of the Creator, so there's good in me, because, you know, maybe so many are just hearing constant, you know, I wish you weren't born, or, you know, everything that's totally opposite of what is good and perfect. So how would you say for those children who are in homes aren't getting that type of positive support, how would you say, you know, just in explaining how we are to step in, you know, everyone to do their part. It's not about, you know, you hear sometimes people have said, oh, that's not my child, and I'm taking care of mine. At least I've heard of that. But, you know, this is not the day for indifference. And we're seeing the suffering from who were once children. We see these adults now highly dysfunctional. So just kind of move into how that is to be something we're always to be aware of and encouraging our children to and to draw those out of them.
Right. Well, we, as far as I'm trying to grasp a hold of what your question is for me in this, I don't really focus on helping children personally who have, you know, emotional and woundedness problems. That's not my field. My field is to just educate parents on how to recognize their child's gifts. So it's kind of a different topic. However, I will say that, you know, the scriptures tell us that we are indeed our brother's keeper. So when we see situations that might be in our circle of friends, for example, the goal would be to work with the parents and love the children also, but it's a parent's responsibility. We are not to step in when there is a parent there governing and with authority over the child. That's not our place. So to me, the greatest thing we can do is to help the parent become whole. When that parent becomes whole, then the child will, you know, follow suit. They'll be able to help their children. I don't get into that aspect of our society as far as teaching. That's not my thing. There are, like you said, a lot of wounded children out there that need help, but we should work with parents and help parents understand who they are so they can become whole and become better parents. As far as the authority that we have, we do not have authority over someone else's child. God didn't give us that. They have authority. So that's a different program. That's a different topic. What I like to do is just help parents who are able and willing and that hear this message, that hear and discover the gifts, to be able to walk in that. And eventually, you know, a generation will rise up to where people know who they are. So your question is kind of a little off topic for me, but that's the best I can do to answer that.
I guess I was really saying, how are you more sensitive, perhaps, or did it make you a lot more after writing the series?
Okay.
To see those children, because as I said, sometimes they're not getting that support in the home. So would you say that you're getting feedback? Well, I know mostly, I guess, the ones who are purchasing these books are parents.
Uh-huh.
But
right.
Wouldn't you say that it's helpful, you know, in every way for any adult that may be around children? Like, you know, I know you are part of reading to youth in libraries, you know, like studying, you know, the Boys and Girls Club or, you know, whatever that has little smaller ones or that age, that school age, those organizations, and promoting it because, as I said, for the adults to be more aware of how to just leave something positive, you know, for them to think about, you know. It's sort of like how people mention about a smile. Sometimes, you know, no one gives that to them, and so they feel,
right,
took the time to speak to the stranger and, you know, just let them know that, oh, yeah, you want to, you know, notice them and you wanted to be kind. But go ahead and share.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We should all be, as adults, kind to children when we see them, you know. I'll give a little example right here. It's actually almost a year ago now, I was invited to come to an event, and I was loading my boxes from the car, taking them into the location where my space was, and walking back and forth. And I had my hands full, and there were three adults that walked through the door before me, and the door, they saw me carrying the boxes. No one offered to help, and I got to the door, and I couldn't open it. And this little girl, she was actually 8 years old, she said, "Can I help you?" And she opened the door for me, and immediately I recognized she had the ministry of serving. That's what a servant will do. A servant sees the need and wants to meet it, and she saw that I needed help. Yes, I recognized her gift right away, and I do that when I'm traveling somewhere or if I see children. I can pretty quickly spot what their gift might be and try and help them bring that gift out. So for that little girl, I actually stopped and told her what her gift was and gave her a little bit of knowledge about that, and she was so appreciative, but it was obvious her gift was a gift of service. That happens to me quite frequently.
Beautiful. And so we're going to go ahead and move into explaining prophecy, because a lot of people probably don't have a full understanding of what that gift is.
Okay. The gift of prophecy is the most misunderstood gift. We're talking about the motivational gift of prophecy, not the office of the prophecy as in the church, but the motivational gift of prophecy is a wonderful gift that quite a few people have. People with this wonderful gift have deep insight into the reality of the person and essence of God and his life principles to fulfill their purpose. They really have and possess a deep understanding of God and who he is. It's a spiritual gift where the Spirit empowers certain Christians to receive revelation and speak powerful messages from God to his people. Today, there's a huge move of what in the charismatic movement, especially where people want to prophesy and they're prophesying. Some of that to me is not true prophecy. It is borderline fortune telling, if I can put it that way. When you're prophesying the messages of God, it pretty much comes from the scriptures and from the character and the life of God. It's not foretelling the future. In the Old Testament, that was done frequently, but in the New Testament, Hebrews talks about how prophecy is the spirit of the testimony of Jesus. So we have to really understand prophecy is all about to begin with. But the children and the people that have this motivational gift of prophecy, they just seem to know things without even being taught. And often they don't have to have formal education to understand the truth about how life works. They just know it intuitively because that's what God has put into them. Prophesying reveals unrighteous motives or actions by presenting the truth of God's word. So people with this gift have a really good ability to discern the character and motives of others. Little children exhibit this gift quite early, and you can recognize it. Parents can recognize it by the things that they do. I love this gift. I love talking about this gift because it's one that once we recognize the children that have this gift, then we can steer them in the direction they do need to go in. So some of the, and let me say while I'm talking, I tend to talk fast. It's a lot of information. If anybody has a question, feel free to ask that question, okay? Beth, just interrupt me and say, we have a question.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to let the listeners know, if you have a question or comment, to press 1 and you'll be in the host queue. So just press 1 and we'll be able to see your hand up. Okay, go ahead, Yvonne.
Okay, wonderful. So let me give you a few or some of the traits to look for in children, character traits that you can look for if you think you might have a child with this motivational gift. Your child is very people-oriented, and they really don't like to be alone. However, sometimes they find themselves alone because they tend to be judgmental. Even as little children, they can be a little bit judgmental with their friends. This is one sign that you can begin to look for. Do you find yourself involved in chores and your child is right on your apron strings? Children with this gift like to be by their parents. If dad's working in the garage, Johnny wants to show up and just hang out by dad. So that's another character trait to look for. They like to be with a parent, just hanging out or being near them. They do not have a good imagination traditionally. Children with this gift do not possess a good imagination. They just don't have one. So if they're talking about you're trying to get them to be an actor or an artist or somebody that has a gift that or a talent that they are up in front of people a lot, that's probably not wise because they just don't possess that. If your child is a girl with this gift, take dolls off the Christmas list. If it's a boy, take toys off the Christmas list. They just don't like dolls and toys. Again, they're not good with imagination, so they don't like to play with something that can't talk back to them. They're very real when it comes to conversations and relationships. Prophetic children, like I said, they cannot carry on a conversation with something that can't talk back. Where other children, you'll see, you know, creating children out of the thin air, and they talk to them. This child will not do that. Let's see what else we have here. Regarding books, children with the gift of prophecy like to read stories that teach a moral truth or that are factual. They're very truth-oriented. So give them books about true stories, real people, not fairy tales. Again, fairy tales falls into the category of imagination. Remember, the child with the gift of prophecy doesn't possess a really strong imagination. These children possess an understanding of people well beyond their years. You've seen, in fact, we've heard today the term indigo children. Indigo children or an old soul, those are two terms that you hear quite frequently relating to children. These are children that have probably this prophetic gift. They just understand life and people way beyond their years. They're extremely insightful children. They can tell what's going on with someone and oftentimes don't know it factually or because someone told them. They just seem to know what's going on with other people. they can get depressed, sometimes negative, and appear to be hard-hearted, even though they're very tender children. And let me explain about those traits right there and explain why that happens. For example, I think I mentioned this early on when we were discussing this back in March, I believe. But anyway, a child that has this gift, let's say he goes into the bedroom and he's told to make up his bed. Child makes up his bed and it's perfect, but there's one little wrinkle on the side. So mom comes in and says, Johnny, you missed this spot over here. There's a wrinkle. Well, Johnny's going to be depressed about that for hours because he didn't do it right or he felt like he didn't do it right. However, if you come into the room and with the same bed, the same wrinkle, and you don't mention the wrinkle, but you say, Johnny, what a beautiful job you did making up your bed, Johnny will gloat for 2 hours. So these children are very, very sensitive to positive correction or negative correction. You have to really watch how you work with them when it comes to helping them understand tasks and achieving tasks and things of that nature. And they believe that they're either all good or all bad. For example, back to the bed. Johnny is all bad because he messed the bed up and didn't fix that one little wrinkle, so he thinks he's all bad. Whereas if the bed looks wonderful and mom corrected or appraised him on the bed, now he's all good. So that's a really easy one to spot in your children if they have this gift. Let's see. They don't have no imagination. They're not creative. They are truth-oriented. They can be judgmental and sharp-tongued, and these children do find themselves frequently alone because of that. These children, if they are raised in a spiritual environment, they do like to pray for their friends, and sometimes you might see them even crying when they're praying for their friends because they want their friends to be good. They just want them to do what's right. They uphold the integrity of God, and they want people to represent God fully and well. So that's something else that you can look for in as far as how they feel about their children or their friends when they're praying for them or when they're talking to God about them. They often will pray for their friends to get saved. If they know the Lord or they're in church, they want their friends to get to know God for themselves, and they want them to stop doing things that might be wrong. So this gift is a sweet gift. It's a very, very important gift. Children with this motivational gift of prophecy, when they grow up, I mentioned this on one of the programs, let's say they have the ministry gift of preaching. These are the ones that have that fire and brimstone type preaching sermon. They are going to preach the rough side of God, trying to get people to repent and turn so they can be healed and restored and understand and walk in God's goodness. So that will help you understand the spiritual gift of prophecy from a little better angle. They do make quick decisions, but they do not like in-depth study. Again, they're intuitive. They understand life well beyond their years because that's what God put into them. So that's a little bit about the spiritual motivational gift of prophecy. Does anybody on the phone think that they might have a child with this gift, or do you have any questions?
Well, when you describe your gift, I see myself in a lot of it. I can see particularly my daughter, but she definitely has, that gentle and giving and, so there's something, and very creative. So she definitely is imaginative. Very much.
Yeah, I remember you talked about her last time, and I think she has gifts of giving and service more so than prophecy, based on the things you had mentioned.
Yeah, and when she was a preschooler, actually, she would come to me, and she would just start talking as if, I don't want to use the word channel, but it was college vocabulary. I wasn't teaching her that. And it was like, I couldn't believe it. I was just stunned. But she was constantly giving me a prophetic word. And I said, well, where are you getting that from? She said, Jesus told me. Oh, she doesn't even remember that. That's what she was doing. And
oh, how about that? Sweet.
And when she started public school, they asked me, they like, how is it she has a college vocabulary? I was just stunned. They put her in the kitchen. But I'm just saying, she was, and it was the first time I think if someone had ever said old soul before to me, I had to pay attention, but someone said to me, an older lady, too, she just came up to me, she said, well, you know you have old soul. Speaking of my son and my daughter.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, I'm not equipped for this.
Well, you must have been, or God wouldn't have given them to you. So,
we can't say that. Now, we just mentioned about how there are some people that definitely should not be parents.
Oh,
wow! But so when they grow up, then you had me thinking of these televangelists. I don't know just how much. I can say I don't know how much, but it seems like just the way they're talking, they're not really getting. I should say delivering the meat of the word, right? And they're very, of course, charismatic. So would they be, like, from the child coming up? And, you know, they're always wanting to give a word, whether it's true or not. So would you say?
I said they have to give a prophecy just because they want to give a word?
No, I'm saying they usually will give a word. Usually, you see it all the time, particularly on television.
Oh, right, adults, yes. Well, that's not necessarily, because then you're moving into the spiritual gifts. Motivational gifts are not the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, you have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word of prophecy. Those are our spiritual gifts. The motivational gift of prophecy has more to do with wanting people to know God and understand his ways and the truth of the word of God. What you're describing is the spiritual gifts, which are completely different from the motivational gifts. Yeah.
I was wondering, what were they kind of moving into the prophetic from having the prophetic motivational?
I'm not quite sure. Because there are three categories of giftings, and we oftentimes confuse spiritual gifts and motivational gifts. Spiritual gifts operate on generally one-on-one basis, one time. They're not motivated to do this on a normal, everyday basis. The motivational gifts is something that's inside of us, that is constantly motivating us when we're around people that pull out our gifting. So they're two different things. Yeah.
All right.
How about service? Yeah. Pardon?
Okay. So we're just going to take a break, and we'll come back and speak on service. All right.
Excellent.
Okay. I hope producer. Okay. I hope you.
You are not done.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I thought I was talking. I was talking, and my phone was on mute.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm
glad you're here.
Talking.
I'm glad you're back.
I
was thinking, uh-oh, what
talking.
Do I do now?
Yeah, I'm just going on. You know, well, that was keep breathing. I'm having a conversation.
Beautiful
with
song. It's a beautiful song.
Yes, very appropriate too. You just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I am going to, oh, please press 1 if there are any comments. All right. Any comments or questions, press 1 so that you're in the host queue. All right, Yvonne, you were going to share about
okay,
the
you have a caller, 404. I've opened up the mic, 404-952. Your mic is open.
All right.
Yes, good. Hi, this is Dr. DeShazor. They call me Dr. D. I was just coming in. Excuse my late coming in. I just left a major
Hi, Dr.
meeting.
D.
But wanted to just let you guys know I was here to support and was listening in on you guys because I truly believe and gifts for children. That's my whole life. So I'll just be listening and talking as you guys say different things. And thank you for just doing what you do, my sister friend.
Oh,
that's right.
Thank you, Dr. D. Thank you so much for joining. Yes, and for commenting.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about service.
All right.
Okay. The little child in the Answer series, his name's Jesse. He has the gift of service, and the book I wrote for him says, Jesse can't say no, and that's appropriate because children with a gift of service can't say no. Beth, your daughter, she can't say no, right? So
yeah.
This is probably for her. But the purpose of the motivational gift of serving is to demonstrate love by offering practical assistance. Not necessarily meeting needs like poverty and clothing and things like that. That's the gift of giving. But practical assistance is what the gift of service is all about. These little kids take special care to identify the needs of those around them. For example, they like to help mom in the kitchen. They like to help dad in the garage in the yard. They like to help their brothers and sisters do their chores. They're always wanting to help someone meet practical needs. The goal is to keep one another built up and to enable us all to see beyond our own needs, to reach outside of ourselves and into the community. That's the goal and the purpose of the gift of service. The one who is a server has a spirit-given capacity and desire to serve God by rendering practical help in both the physical and spiritual matters. Excuse me. They help take care of the daily aspects of life. So you watch for children that enjoy assisting in the needs of their friends and even those they don't know, and that's a strong indicator that they probably have the gift of service. For example, have you ever seen a child, let's say they're in the park and someone throws a cup on the ground or a bag on the ground or they throw something in the trash can, they miss the trash can. The child that has the gift of service will run immediately and pick that item up and throw it away. That's just something that they do. So that's one strong trait you can look for in these children. But the motivational gifts in general are the way that we exhibit God's love to others. That's the purpose of the gifts in general. So some of the traits you can look for with the child that has the motivational gifts of service, they're very easy to spot. They exhibit serving in a very practical way. They're observant and detailed. They do observe everything around them because they're waiting to jump in and do the next task. They're happy being in the background. These children do not like to get up in front of people. In school, they don't like to give book reports. They don't like to be called on to say something. They just like being in the background. Unlike the one that has the gift of exhortation, they love to be called on. They love to be up front. But the one with the gift of service does not. Servers, again, love to help around the house by completing practical tasks, such as loading the dishwasher, dusting, sweeping, setting the table, raking leaves, things of that nature. These children also follow mom and dad around just like the child with the spiritual motivational gift of prophecy. But they follow them around so they can help. The one child with the gift of prophecy just likes to hang out and be near their parents. However, this child wants to be ready and willing to help their parents if they need help. They're imitators. They love to imitate what mom and dad do. So you can watch for that. See if your child likes to imitate things that you do. They never get tired. Beth, you mentioned your daughter will just keep up giving or keep working, keep doing things over and over, and she'll wear herself out. She just won't stop. Even with the baby, she won't stop. That's the primary trait of a gift of service. They can't say no. They just keep on helping. They do have a capacity to be involved in many, many activities, often too many because they can't say no. And sometimes that causes frustration and limits their time because they have only 24 hours in a day, just like we all do. But they will sometimes commit beyond the time frame that they have to complete a job. But they're fulfilled. These children are very happy when they're doing something, when they're serving. It makes them really, really happy. As your child grows, they like to make gifts rather than buy gifts. They are keen at remembering special things about their friends and family. They will remember Beth's favorite color. They'll remember my favorite food. They'll remember Viata's favorite car. They'll just remember special things about their friends. At Christmas time, again, they would rather make, as they grow up, make a sweater than buy a sweater. They just love to make things that are special for their friends. They do stay away from some people. You might notice this because they can detect insincerity. These children, just like the child with the gift of mercy, they can detect insincerity in people. They're very loving children. They're very happy children, just like the one with mercy. However, both of these children do, like a guard goes up. They can be around someone that's not insincere and sincere, and a guard will go up in their little soul, their little spirit, that tells them, maybe don't get involved here. That's a good thing to have, but you can watch for things of that nature. If they tell you, Mom, I don't want to go by that person, or we just need to stay away from that person, there's a good reason for it. The servers are very, very ambitious. At school, they might be the one that's involved in five different clubs if they just like to get involved. They're very loyal children, very sincere, tolerant. They have a high level of tolerance for people that are not like them. They're faithful and they're devoted individuals. They're likable. They're congenial. They don't generally offend people, and they can listen without being critical. These are very genuine children. They love to color. Children with a gift of serving love to color. So give them a coloring book and crayons, and they are in hog heaven, as I would say. That's a trait that you can look for as well. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be an artist. They just love to color, and they're creative. They learn quickly, and they find great satisfaction in putting things together. So if you get your Christmas list out, find toys that can help them, that can allow them to put something together. They like to do that. They usually have a best friend. While children with the motivational gift of serving love people, they like one person to be their friend, and they're very loyal to that friend. They relate better in small groups as opposed to large groups. Again, they don't like being in the forefront. They like being in the background. And one trait that you can look for is that they do like pets sometimes more than people. These children love dogs and cats and other kind of animals, and they relate to them better than people. So your child with the gift of service and mercy are similar in that they have this, a lot of the same personality traits. But these children are just a delight to be around. And they're big, big, big helpers. So any questions on this motivational gift?
Well, as you said, you actually described her because whoever had a pet, that's who she was going to befriend.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, she would be friendly, but she definitely would be friendly if they had a pet.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
And yet I always had her in art camp, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she went to the School of the Arts, so she, you know, like I said, she's pretty well-rounded. But, very keen about personality.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very much so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, some of the challenges, you know, each one of these gifts carry with them challenges. I'm telling you all the traits to look for, but you can also look for things that they have to overcome as well. For example, this child, Beth, you might have related to this. Those children can be pushy because they take on so much. They want to just jump in there and do something, so they can tend to be pushy. You have to help them overcome that. They can get grouchy when they take on too much. Because they're getting tired, they can't say no, so you can look for grouchiness when they're really, really busy. They would rather help you than do their homework, so that's something you have to help that child overcome. Let's say they have a homework in math, but the dishes need to be washed, and they'll go do those dishes before their homework. So that's something else to look for, and something that you can, you know, work on to help them understand you love them helping you. However, homework is a priority, so you have to work on these weak areas to help them overcome them as well. And sometimes they will, because they can't say no, they'll jump in often before anybody else because they want to help. So you have to help them understand that there's other children that want to do things and they don't always need to be the one that gets the job. You know what I'm saying? So there are some obstacles that they have to overcome. And in my book, The Parent's Guide to Understanding What Motivates Your Child, I've written down some of these obstacles with each gift and also family engagement to develop the gift as well. So service is a wonderful gift. It's a much, much needed gift. As they grow up and get involved in the church, these children are the ones that are these adults, now adults, will be the ones that get involved with helping to cut the grass of the church, cleaning the church, cooking the meals of the church, things like that. They're going to be your volunteers in your churches and your volunteer organizations.
Oh, wow. Yes, and she definitely has that spirit of servanthood. She would tutor, I mean, constantly. Mm-hmm. Now, her brother, you know, he's very much in his studies and really, you know, he didn't have time. I mean, he just had so much. But so did she, but she was sacrificed. She was sacrificed. Mm-hmm. She was supposed to, in her study, to help others, you know, for them not to, fall behind or something. I was like,
right,
you know,
right.
She couldn't do that. I mean, she was better than instructors. She should have been getting the check. I'm telling you.
Wow.
DeShazer also, Dr. DeShazer has a, she started with tutoring when she retired. She has her doctorate in education. So I wanted her to definitely, you know, share because she's dealing with her heart, of course, always has been children. So even with her retiring, she didn't actually, she moved right into now forming her academy. But Dr. DeShazer, do you have a question, comment?
I just wanted to say that, what's your title, Ms. Williams, evangelist or?
I'm pastor.
Pastor Williams. Let me tell you, you need to write that book and say, mirroring the child in you. Because even though I sat here and I'm 57 years old almost, and I sat here and I listened to every trait that I still possess. The only difference is I could hear my challenges and I know how to handle those challenges and the things and the way I help people who have servicing spirits with their messages. I say, you have to get rid of being pushy. You know, you get grouchy real quick because you're busy.
Yeah.
So yep. I am just so enthralled with everything you're saying, because I'm going, there's still always a child in each of us. And everything that you described, I can actually see myself, and that's why I believe there's a child who served, there's a child who has that exhortation, that's my son, my dancer, mm-hmm. that one who has to do everything, but, you know, he got to be seen, you know, that uh-huh. dancer. In
uh-huh.
Him. Laura yeah. became a police officer. She always had that servant spirit, and she still does. Very detailed, uh-huh. very, very meticulous. So even though you are describing to us the child, but uh-huh. these are traits that as adults we need to know who we are. So I'm sitting
absolutely.
Here, I'm smiling and saying, I must have that book, and it will be in my school so that my teachers and I can read and share and talk about it, because we will have every one of those children with those gifts in there,
mm-hmm.
and we will also be able to see ourselves. So I applaud you for how the Holy Ghost have dissected and task analyzed the gifts for children, and I will say, and the rest of us.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, you're absolutely right, because I didn't discover my gifts until I learned about these, you know, and when
right.
I was writing them for, yeah, so we do. We have those gifts, and they stay with us throughout our lifetime, and if
yes.
we don't understand them as children and why we do what we do, then we get frustrated, but I so agree with what you said. We have these gifts all through our lives. And these books can help us understand who we are as well. In fact, I've had parents contact me and say, you know, I discovered my gifts by reading this, and now I know why I do what I do, and now I can understand my children better. So,
well, just think about
thank you
it.
For
how
that.
Many, but just think about it. You know, how many marriages, how many
mm-hmm.
Relationships, how many jobs would be saved if we can start, mm-hmm. because I believe in part of my theme and Pastor Francis will tell you, I believe in the inner me. And if we could
yes.
deal with these things that you're talking about in the inner me, and it comes out in your personality, and know who
mm-hmm.
you are, know your detail, know why you're picking up the trash, know why you are
mm-hmm.
the person who you're truly in the background, but yet you're not. You know, if we
right.
knew, if we know these things, marriages would be better. You know, our jobs.
Absolutely.
You know, the way we handle our jobs. So a book as such as yours, and gifting as you have, God has given you to be able to, you know, explore and see the development of a child through these
mm-hmm.
gifts is often because, you know, we need something out there educationally to help us
mm-hmm.
understand the development of the child. You know, okay, Freud is good. All those guys
mm-hmm.
who come with him are good. But this
mm-hmm.
is what we need now. We need something
yes.
in this day, in the latter day, to explain who we are through the way God has given us to you. So we need to really rally around you and make sure that this get out, because I'm just telling you, you are on spot. You are on
oh,
spot.
Oh, thank
and
you
I'm
so much for that encouragement.
I work with children every day, and
uh-huh.
I can't wait to, I missed the first one, but I can't wait to actually read all the giftings. And do you mind taking a minute and just listing them, even though you probably already gone over some? I would like to see
oh, sure.
that list.
Yeah,
and,
I'll be happy to.
I think I caught two of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're exhortation, which you mentioned earlier. Beautiful gift. Exhortation is the encourager, the one that we need so desperately today.
Mm-hmm.
Then facilitator, which is the leader,
mm-hmm.
the one that, you know, does projects and pulls people together to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the gift of giving, which is support as much as giving finances. It's emotional, mental, spiritual support as well
mm-hmm.
To their friends and their peers. And then we have mercy, which I actually haven't done mercy yet. I was going to try and get it in tonight's show, but mercy is very similar to service, only mercy, the purpose of it is to alleviate suffering. Such a necessary gift in today's culture. There's so many hurting people. And the gift of mercy
mm-hmm.
is one that really needs some understanding. So that's the fourth one. And then I just
mm-hmm.
touched on prophecy and service. And the next one I'm going to do is teaching. That's the seventh one. So
may
there's
I
seven of
you
them.
Some, may
yes.
I ask you something with this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really leaping for joy. There's a Mary Elizabeth experience in me. all of these gifts that you have listed, God quickly mm-hmm. said to me, and those are the gifts that all my leaders should possess. Oh,
yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Absolutely.
So we all
absolutely
need to find these particular spirits in us, you know, that
mm-hmm.
childlike, you know, and then it takes me back to, he reminds us, unless we come to him as a child, you know, we
mm-hmm.
will, you know, we could be lost, you know, we got to keep that
yes.
openness is what he's saying. So if we were
yes.
to train up our children, as Proverbs told us, and we train them up with these
mm-hmm.
particular giftings
mm-hmm.
and explanation
mm-hmm.
of these gifts,
mm-hmm.
it's awesome. I there again That's- applaud you because I do a lot of reading. And I applaud you.
Thank
for
you. Thank you. Well, that what you just said exactly what the motivational gifts are for. When that scripture is so misused, but when it says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart, that the motivational gifts is exactly the way they should go. And I touch on this. I have
mm-hmm.
a whole chapter of that in this book because that's what God put in us. It's who we are at core value. A mercy person is going to be merciful her entire or his entire life and want to alleviate suffering. Therefore, you
mm-hmm.
want to take that person and you want to guide them in the way they should go, which is to function in the gift of mercy and alleviate suffering in others, whether it's through ministry, whether it's through being a doctor, a nurse, a dentist, compassionate counselor, anything to help alleviate suffering. And when we understand these gifts, we know how to direct our children in that direction. Will have a whole lot less frustration as them in a, when they become adults because they'll know who they are.
Mm.
Yeah, and we should, as we become adults also, like you said, operate in all seven of these. When we become Christ-like, the more we become Christ-like, the more we have function in all seven of these gifts as the need arises.
Mm. Well, I will be dissecting
yeah.
your gifts and training them in my little people. And
wonderful.
I am now the director of an academy. Well, Favorite Christian Academy in Thomasville,
uh-huh.
and I just cannot wait to take this and let it be a part of my curriculum. And I want you to hear what I just said. This will be a part of my curriculum when I'm doing my Bible teaching, and I cannot wait to get some copies so that I can correlate
mm-hmm.
it with what I'm teaching them about developing as a creature of God and his creation. And that means that this will come very early in me talking about their creation. So
wonderful.
I applaud you. Yeah, this is good.
Well, thank
yes,
you so
ma'am.
Much. We'll give yes. my email at the end of the program and contact me, and we'll communicate, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much for your encouragement. I appreciate that.
And I just want to repeat, if there are any questions or comments, just press 1, and you'll be in the host queue.
561-345, your mic is open.
Yes, peace, love, health, and happiness.
And
to
happiness.
You.
Yay.
Yay,
wonderful. I like all those.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sister, for sharing the wonderful insights. You know, everything is so synchronized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This energy right now, especially coming into this eclipse and, you know, the shifting of the planets and everything, that we are
mm-hmm.
all like really, especially as women, we are looking at, we got the answer to,
uh-huh.
to taking us to the next level of our being. And it is truly about knowing thyself. And I hear, and that's what you're about sharing. I am a priestess, Yogini Nuradina, and we're Mothers for the Earth. And we have a show that's going to come on tomorrow, our new first initiated or with a debut show is going to come on as part of the Heal Thyself family. And
mm-hmm.
our first show in Mothers for the Earth,
mm-hmm.
Inspiration.
Oh, wow.
And,
I love that.
Our first show is about who am I? Our question
Ooh.
Is, we believe the most important question that we should hear, that human as humans should hear, upon our entering into the earth plane is, who am I?
Who am I?
What
Love
am
it.
I? And why am I here? Who am I? And as these children and as we develop with that being the first thing that we hear, not all the other racket, because this is one of our first thing that develop us. Who we are is what we hear, what we ingest.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes.
as we hear that, and that's the first thing that flows through our fails and everything, this mm-hmm. will help us to develop the ability that you're talking mm-hmm. about very naturally. We're calling them the abilities to expand ourselves. So this is the way mm-hmm. of the new human, how we have been under that guidance and that light. It hasn't been wrong or bad. It's just how it's been. And now the humans are evolving, and we are asking yeah. these questions, and we're looking mm-hmm. from the inside. I heard you talk about, you know, being in. So like Mothers for the Earth, we're sharing the inner engineering. We have the tools and the moods and mm-hmm. the sounds and the formulas to turn our frowns upside down. Not children.
I love that.
You know, it's difficult to make a child unhappy. You got to do a uh-huh. whole lot to make a child uh-huh. unhappy. But
you are so right.
We got to do a whole lot to make ourselves happy. But with these abilities that you're talking about, with these awareness of ourselves,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
it is inevitable. No one can stop you from being happy when you know how to turn your own self on. You know, no
Absolutely.
One can control your emotions, can make you angry, can make you fearful or in pain or anything when you have mm-hmm. the ability. And this is what I was talking with the sisters, because we're preparing for the show, so I came a little late, but the ability mm-hmm. to be able to respond. So the word is mm-hmm. we want to be responsible. I'm responsible mm-hmm. for my life, right?
Yes.
That's what we say. You know, but yes. what does that mean? And responsibility, hear this, respond, having the ability to respond however mm-hmm. way I want mm-hmm. to. Check
oh,
that
I
out.
Love that.
I know,
yes.
isn't
I love
that awesome?
That. It's wonderful.
So what,
yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And so, like, having the abilities, and so the more we are able to look and to see and to go inside of ourselves and to know ourselves, we start to develop abilities. And it came mm-hmm. through with one of the sisters. She was saying something happened, domestic stuff and like that, and in the past she would have been like, blah, 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 blah. But then,
yeah.
you know, she's been opening her mind and dealing with life from another perspective. And so she mm-hmm. realized that she responded differently. That's because she has developed more abilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. That's powerful. Yes. That's thanks for sharing that. That's so powerful. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm
going
to listen to your show.
When
I can't wait to hear it.
And when I came in, that's exactly what you were saying. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so awesome. Like, so on the same page. And so Mothers for the Earth. And so we're, like, really we're starting the show off in with connecting our – we're a traveling purification temple in nature's spa. And we're mm-hmm. bringing forth community ascension tours, CAT, mm-hmm. which brings forth an environmental revival and health festival.
Wow.
Yes. So we're bringing,
that's wonderful.
We have this, we're bringing this, some solutions to some of these pollutions and the answers to our prayers. And the answers mm-hmm. to our prayer is to know ourselves, inner
yes,
reflection, inner engineering. And that's what you're bringing forth in your book, and it must start with our babies as soon as they come out of the womb.
Amen.
Yes, you're right, absolutely right. Yeah, and that's why I'm writing the one for preschoolers, because I have read to preschoolers quite a bit last year through a volunteer program, and those children are just so precious, age 3, 4, and 5. I love that age. So
me
I'm making,
too. Those are like
writing
people.
A book for that. Yes,
yay.
I'm writing a book for the parents for preschoolers so they can start recognizing their children that early and who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so
we have one more. Go ahead.
I wanted to let you know the show will start tomorrow, so please come to our debut, Mothers for the Earth. We're really, really pumped, and here's some of the more wonderful things that we plan to do. And that's at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to mm-hmm. 1 p.m. We're going to do the whole 2 hours because, just like you, you know, what you have to say, I know we could talk to you for 4 hours and still would still be learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
just right.
we have to keep going. And we know our subject is ongoing. So it's Who Am I? And that's to 11 o'clock. And that's on the same call that you have here, the same blog family. And
okay, wonderful.
Heal thyself. If you call the same number, you'll get us. And
okay, thank you.
For the earth. Yeah, yeah. And and the subject is Who Am I? What
Who am I?
What mm-hmm. am I? What is this mm-hmm. piece of life? this ship that we know that we are all in our own individual balloon, but yet we know that we're collective. And so what is this individual balloon that's acting out these abilities, you know? So what am I and why am I here? And so we're going to talk about that. Yeah, and so that's going to be an ongoing conversation, of course, you know. And we have the sister from Jalesta from California, Mothers for the Earth, and we're uniting this energy, and we're going to travel across the country with this. So we hope to connect with you. Where are you located?
Florida. Florida,
oh,
middle Florida.
I just left Florida. What part?
West Coast. We're on the West Coast.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can fly that way because we're doing a Mothers for the Earth, a traveling purification symbol. So we're traveling, and so we're leaving Connecticut, and we're going to go to New Jersey and Washington, D.C. So our show is going to be talking about our travels and how we're sharing this knowledge. So I definitely would like for you to come onto the air because we're going to have people coming on up and down the East Coast. And then I just left Florida and came up here so that we can start this journey. And from here, Mothers for the Earth, we're going to Arizona. So we're going to be traveling across the country. So please plug in with us and, you know, let the people know, because as you, the little children, you know, I'm a preschool teacher. And so let's do it, girl. That's a great book. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll stay in touch. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
For sure. Well, I wish you the best in your journey. I appreciate that so much for sharing with us. So, okay. So we have another gift, the gift of teaching. Are you ready to hear about this one?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, the motivational gift of teaching. This is the last one. Well, actually, I'll do mercy, but I'll do that quickly later. The motivational gift of teaching is a wonderful gift. It is, and this is really, to me, of all the gifts, one of the easiest to recognize in your children. In spiritual work, teaching is the logical, systematic presentation of truth. So we grow in the understanding and knowledge of God and his kingdom and who we are. The purpose of this gift is to share knowledge with others to help them grow. In the church, the teacher keeps things in order and connects the scriptures to truth, keeping in proper perspective the balance and context of scriptures and doctrines and life philosophies, things of that nature. One with a motivational gift to teach might be described as someone that loves the truth and is not happy when it is misrepresented or taken out of context. Beth, you know someone like this. Children with this gift are called bookworms because they love, love, love to read and do research. They would rather do that than get up in the morning and eat. Like Jesus, he taught as one having authority. This child is confident in the knowledge that they learn. And they do love to give book reports at school. They're the first one that will raise their hand and say, let me give my report because I want to share what I know. So, but this gift is very important in the church and outside, just anywhere in life, the gift of teaching to help us understand life. As you said, sister, who am I, what am I, why am I here? The teacher can help us unravel that. And they're motivated to do that. They love truth. So some of the signs you can look for in your child that might have the motivational gift of teaching. Little Sarah Sims is a character I created in the book about her. It says Sarah learns a lesson. And now you'll know why the book was titled that in just a moment. But these children are very quiet. They're studious and they do outlines for absolutely everything. The older they get, the more you'll see them doing outlines when they prepare their materials to share. If you have a busy lifestyle, never fear of not giving this child your full attention 24/7. They don't mind being alone. They actually love to be alone. That way they can do their reading and their studying and their research. They're energized actually by being alone. I know I had a mother come to me once actually it was in May at the convention we were at, and she said, my daughter will not come out of her bedroom. She reads constantly. And I said, that's because she has the motivational gift of teaching. So that's one of the primary signs you can look for. They love to read. Give them all the books they can handle, especially comic books. For some reason, these children love comic books and encyclopedias. They love a variety of writing styles and topics. They just like to learn. These children, what I love about these children is you can't pull the wool over their eyes. They'll call you every time you try and tease them or try and tell them something that's not accurate. they know that sky is blue, and there's nothing you can do to prove that it's not blue. They will, but if you do tell them it's blue and they don't yet discover that it's blue, they will research it and prove it for themselves. They have to prove everything for themselves. If you have a child that has the motivational gift of teaching, these children love to teach their younger siblings, help them with their homework. They can do it with patience, so that's something else you can look for. If you have multiple children, watch for the one that likes to help the others learn and do their homework. Yeah, that's very important. This enables them to be creative in their messaging. They use whatever is necessary to get an idea across. They really do what's necessary to help people understand what he or she is trying to teach. Now, one of the pitfalls of this is these individuals that have this gift, a lot of times they would rather give the information just to give it than to give it so the hearer listens. That's something they have to overcome. They just love to give their knowledge, but as they grow up and begin to teach, they have to do it with the right motive in hand. They have to be taught that the message that they've been given, the information they've been giving, is for others, not for them to boast about the fact that they know knowledge, but because they have information to give to others so they can learn. That's one of the obstacles they have to overcome. These children do like to keep their rooms clean. If you have a neat freak on your hands, that might be a sign that he or she has the motivational gift of teaching. They're very orderly, and they like to have the room cleaned. Teachers love these children because they don't miss class. They're always punctual, and they generally have perfect attendance in school, Sunday school, their regular public school or private school. Either way, they're always punctual and love to have perfect attendance. They might not always be the straight A student, but they will make good grades generally most of the time. They're imaginative and questioning. They'll question absolutely everything. Again, they have to learn from themselves. They do not take other people's knowledge unless they prove it for themselves, generally speaking. They do have friends, but social gatherings and clubs are not what motivates them. It's reading. As far as their toys, when you make your Christmas list for these children, they like intricate toys, things that challenge them, things that they can put together, things that they can learn from. So keep that in mind if you have a child that loves to learn and has the motivational gift of teaching. I mentioned that they do not readily believe what people tell them because they have to know it for themselves. They have to validate truth for themselves. They are motivated to teach those motivated to teach almost would rather research than present and share what they know a lot of times. They just love to do research. This child will always be correcting your misspelled words and the improper use of your words. They're constantly helping you understand how to talk, how to walk, how to do everything. So that's something that you can look for as well. They'll question you absolutely on everything. They love to question people. They do enjoy reading the Bible. It's a joy for them. So those children that are raised in the faith homes, they love to read the scriptures. For the most part, they don't take up with strangers, which is a good thing in today's world. You know, they just don't gravitate to people like other children do with the gift of mercy and giving and service. They don't take readily to people, especially those that they do not know. So that is an added blessing. And they do tend to be creative and possess a good imagination. So those are some of the traits that these children possess. Again, to me, this one's very easy to watch because of these character traits. They're very, very simple. They're very fine-lined. Reading, research, loners, things of that nature. So you should be able to pinpoint the child that has this gift pretty quickly. Any questions on this particular gift?
My pastor has that gift.
And yes, he does. He possesses 100% of these traits, doesn't he, Beth?
Oh, well, yes, beyond 100. 1,000%.
Yes, yes. My husband loves the word.
Yes, I just want to let everyone know that website again is ascensionhill.org. Excellent teaching
yes.
on that site. So
yes, he has a lot of teachings on the
definitely, site. Yes. You want to remember that, ascensionhill.org. And while I'm just going to go ahead and make an announcement, and then I'll let you go ahead and wrap up a little bit.
Okay,
but,
sure.
I wanted to just let the listeners know, Dr. DeSaver, who you heard a little bit earlier, she is very much into the arts, beautiful voice. If you want to hear that voice, then Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is DEW. DEW is an acronym, D-E-W, for Distinctly Eloquent Worship.
I love that.
That's on the 23rd, this Wednesday, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will cover the hours, the divine office, and, of course, people call it the hours, and that chant, those chants, as, you know, in the monastery, and they, you know, go around the clock, because this is our vigil. This is our corporate vigil in the month of May. The 23rd is also Day of Remembrance of the slave trade and its abolition. So we will begin that prayer vigil. This is just a prayer vigil, not fasting, at 7:15 Eastern Standard Time, which is the Vespers. And you'll understand and learn about all the different times and what they mean. And so we will cover that. And I'm looking forward to Dr. DeSaver being my co-host. He has been for at least the past couple of years on the DEW. So you don't want to miss. We've had awesome guests, saxophone players, dancers, poets, you name any in the arts, and that are survivors or they have a cause that they're promoting. So we've had very interesting guests for that. And Yvonne, I'm just going to let you go ahead and continue.
Okay. All right. Well, just
let you go ahead and continue. But I just want people, if we have a minute, to take another question or comment, press 1, and we'll know that you're in the host queue. Go ahead, Yvonne.
Okay. I was just in wrapping up. Well, there's one gift that we haven't gotten to yet, and that's mercy. It's a beautiful gift. I love the gift of mercy. It is one that, like I said, the purpose of it is to identify with those who are in distress and comfort. The Holy Spirit gives the special gift of mercy to some to love and assist those who are suffering, to walk with them until their burden is lifted. These are very supportive children. These children can often feel the pain and heartache in others. If they have a smile on their face, they can understand the pain that they're suffering inside with no one telling them. They can just feel that pain. It's a gift that needs to really be developed in the church, especially in our boys. I'm not going to go through all the traits yet, but most of the traits, these children are just like the one that I described, the gift of service. People are drawn to these children, though, in a different way because they have a way of communicating with people who are hurting and supporting them until they get over whatever's bothering them. These children love animals, older people. They're good listeners and joyful. But it's a beautiful gift. If we have time, maybe on a different show or something, we'll just go over this one in general and do a show on mercy. But that's the 7th one. So in general, I just want to wrap up by saying that as we grow up, I mentioned it earlier, we do tend to operate in all 7 of these gifts as the need arises. As we mature, we become more whole, and we become to recognize the needs in others in a much quicker way, and we are more submissive to God, more submissive to life and the needs of others. We tend to lose ourselves and gravitate more towards others. So these gifts are so, so very important. I love that the information. I'm not the first one to learn this information. I learned it from someone else over 20 years ago, but I've done my own research across, over the years and developed what I perceive as some really good information, and I've been proving it with children and watching children throughout the years to see how they function. And most of these traits ring pretty true in the children with the respective gifts. But it's something that is very needed. The sister mentioned it earlier. It's something that for this time period in our culture, in our history, these gifts are so important. We function on, or we teach our children ABCs. We teach them math. We teach them technology. We teach them everything intellectually, but we don't teach them who they are. And that's one of the most valuable things we can do for our children. It will alleviate so much unnecessary suffering when children do know who they are, especially as teenagers. On the last show, Viata, you mentioned a documentary, 13 Reasons Why, I think was the name of it. It was about suicide. I did go back and watch that, and you're absolutely right. The comment you made last program was that if teenagers especially understood who they were, who they are, they would more readily accept one another and have less judgments, more respect, more camaraderie, because they would understand that each person's different. So this is my passion, is understanding who we are as human beings and helping us develop as human beings. I would like to plug, if I can, Bess, that October 28th, we're having a women's summit at our church. It's called God's Amazing Grace Women's Summit. You can go on the website, ascensionhill.org, and just go to the tab Women's Summit. Take a look at it. It's just a one-day event, but I am going to talk a little bit about the gifts there. But we're going to be talking about restoration, transformation, deliverance, grace, healing, all those wonderful attributes to help women move to the next level in who we are as human beings and creations of God. So that's pretty much it for this evening. I'm open to next few minutes to take some more questions if anybody has any.
I wanted to say, with Mercy, the last, because they're very sensitive, they have to be protected. You know, these gifts have to be guarded.
Yes.
So it says, don't let anyone take your crown. These are gifts. And it's very important that the work that you're doing is so awesome, because when the gifts are protected, when the parents have that sensitivity to realize what's going on, you know, that child can grow up whole. And, you know, it says train up a child in the way it should go, because they can grow up broken. You know, when you're not understanding, and then, you know, they're being bullied and all these kind of things.
Right.
And they're very
sensitive. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's and then some are even to the degree of when we move into those spiritual gifts, like healing. You know, they can take on other people's pain, and it's just overwhelming.
Well, boys especially need, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Boys especially need understanding and mercy. If you have a boy that has the gift of mercy, that child needs a lot of attention, because, number one, you know, it's not cool to be tender if you're a boy. A macho is a thing in today's world. It always has been. But these boys do get bullied. They are teased a lot because they're sensitive and tender. But one of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things in the body of Christ, in church, in culture, wherever we are, is the gift of mercy coming through a man, a boy. You know, Jesus. Okay. Mercy dripping out of his veins. He had such a love for human being and humanity that this gift, when a man is whole and a man understands his gift of mercy, it's one of the most beautiful gifts that can operate anywhere, because they truly embrace people's suffering and can work to alleviate it. So we need a great understanding on this gift. And today's world is in such need of understanding. We are so torn by all the issues going on that people are separating themselves from people that really need the love of God. One of my frustrations is the terminology in some of our political circles. You know, the poor and the impoverished need to help them up by their own bootstraps. We just don't help them. They're on their own. And that's not the case when it comes to life. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We are there to help those in need. That's what God and Jesus Christ came to do, was help those in need. So we really need more understanding on the gift of mercy, especially.
Yes. And service with you know.
And service.
For a man, if you find someone that has that kind of heart, the servitude,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you
they
know
have the heart
of that's
Christ.
Totally opposite. It's totally
yes.
opposite of, you know, just about being vain. Like that song says, "You're so vain." So it's
yes.
totally opposite. But
mm-hmm.
I am
right.
so grateful. I want to thank you, Yvonne. This has been wonderful. And for those
Thank
of you,
you for having me.
Who are not aware, you can go to the site, blogtalkradio.com/soulpurposehealing. Check the archives. So those programs that you missed,
mm-hmm.
we've had a few series. We've had this on the Best Gift Journal. We have the No Small Jane, excellent on the environment. And then on the ancient past, the series on the Trinity, but all of the programs in the family of Soul Purpose Healing. But just if you want to check my programs, there are 5 different ones, and I hope to hear you on this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Thank you, Beata. Thank you all. If you had a
and
question,
tomorrow.
Comment, you are.
And tomorrow
yes,
at 11.
Tomorrow, yes, yes, at 11 a.m. with Mothers for the Earth, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, 11 a.m. you can stand in time. And then,
Beth, do you want to give my website out? For?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Sure, it's Anna's Friend, A-N-N-A-S, friend.com. You'll find all the information, a lot of information there, and the books. And information about how to get them. And if you want to email me, my email is Yvonne, Yvonne, at annasfriends.com.
Yeah, and any comments, any more questions, you always can leave it at the Blog Talk site. Thank you. Love you all.
Good night.
Well, neither am I. And I guess that's why nothing's working. Say God is good, but how can that be? It fills up the proof. If you want to see, just look at me. I'm trying to walk on. Preachers say just have faith, but what does that mean? 'Cause I believe, and all these bad things are still happening to me. You say to try to walk right, you say to try to live safe, but there's a storm in your life, and it seems you've been fighting all your days. All your days you're trying to walk on.
Walk on.
Trust me, this ain't another attempt to bring you in. 'Cause we own the same plane, in the same world, and I feel you, my friend.